How do we do it? How do we live in a world full of different faiths? Now, as you may guess, I'm a Christian, right? So I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. And many of you are here too. I don't assume that you do. And that's okay if you don't, because you're welcome here, because your journey, because your faith is a journey. It's a process. But how do we do it? Because we live in a crazy world. Now, this series is called Truth Talk. Everyone say Truth Talk. Come on, more. Everyone say Truth Talk. That's it. Come on. That sounds like an 80s rap. Yo, it's Truth Talk. Yo, we're going to do. So it's called Truth Talk. And we're looking at the truth behind many big issues that we face. So what is the truth behind living in a world of many faiths? Now, we live in a crazy world. Have you seen these driverless cars now? Have you seen them? Anybody seen these drive Tesla? There's no drivers, people. They're just cars doing whatever they want. I mean, that is mental to me. We've got Alexa in our house. Anybody know what Alexa is? Anybody? Yeah, come on. Who's Alexa? Where's she from? Amazon. Thank you. Yeah, not from the Amazon. Like, she just moved in one day. What are you doing, Alexa? I don't even know who you are. Got my passport. No, Alexa is an AI, and it's this little, it's called the Amazon Dot. Right, so you plunk it in your front room and you can talk to her. Because if you're like me, she's probably one of the only people you can talk to in your house. And so you talk to Alexa and you say, Alexa, play Phil Collins' Easy Lover. And then she does this. No, I'm joking. That would be great, wouldn't it? You know, dun, dun, dun. Alexa, play Phil Collins. And she goes, playing Phil Collins. And you're like going crazy, making your noodles. And she's like, Alexa, what's the weather like today? And she'll tell you, the weather today, darling, because I ask her to call me darling, you know, call me darling, yes, darling. The weather today is really, 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 really humid. Or I'll say, what's the traffic like? Or I haven't set this up because I feel like she'd just spend and spend and spend, you know what Alexa's like. But you can link like your Amazon account to it, so you can be like, I need some batteries. Alexa, buy 50 AA batteries, and she just buys them, and it comes to your house. Like, sometimes you can do a two-hour delivery now from Amazon. That's crazy, that, isn't it? This world with it. But my daughter, who's 3 years old, loves Alexa. Alexa's now part of the family, and she loves Alexa. But the problem is for our daughter, she can't say L. She can only say W. So she doesn't call her Alexa. She calls her Awexa. And so what happens is, and one time we're at the dining table, we were having tea, and we had someone round, and she potted off after eating or whatever, and so she's in the front room, and she's saying, Alexa, play Ba Ba Black Sheep, okay? So that's what you hear from the front room. But Alexa ain't listening. So she's saying, Alexa, play Ba Ba Black Sheep. Nothing. Alexa's ignoring her. And so obviously she figures this out. She's like, Alexa, a bit more stern, play Ba Ba Black Sheep. Still nothing. And she goes, Alexa, play Ba Ba Black Sheep. Still ignoring her. So she runs into me. She says, Daddy, Alexa's not listening to me. Anyway, Alexa listens to me. But we love, it's amazing the world we live in, right? Do you know there are over 4,000 different religions in the world today? Did you know that? 4,000. And being a Wigan Athletic fan is up there as well. It's part of one of the... By the way, the word religion just means belief system. It's a system, it's a way of believing. There are over 4,000. That's like having Netflix. There's just lots and lots and lots. But the issue is that, okay, that's all well and good, because we're talking all the way from Peru all the way to Australia, mate. You know, it's a massive, massive world we live in, but you are surrounded in your daily life by many different faiths. You are surrounded not just by this changing, evolving world full of crazy technology, but also crazy beliefs. You, in your office, might work with a Buddhist, or a Muslim, or an atheist, or a Liverpool football club fan. Which one's the fanatic at all? Now, I wonder how you find it in your everyday life. Living on a street with many different faiths. Well, today I want to give you something that you can walk away with, having to reflect and think on as your week goes ahead. How do you do it? Now, for all those believers in the room, those people who have said, okay, Jesus, I believe in you, I'm following you, we all know that Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the, he says that himself in John, in the book of John, chapter 10. The book of John was written by, thank you, Keith, that's right. Thanks for writing that, Keith. Book of John, written by John. He said, Jesus said this about himself. He said, I am the door. Okay, that's not literal. Okay, let's not go weird. He is not a physical door. It's a metaphor. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, they will be saved. There's one door, and that is Jesus. And we're so thankful to Jesus. If you're a believer in the room today, you can say yes or amen. We're so thankful and grateful to Jesus for the mighty cross, for this wonderful Savior who came down from heaven, the only Son that God the Father had, and he chose to come down and be a part of our narrative and our story, and he lived a perfect life, and he surrendered himself of his own accord and allowed himself to die. But that wasn't the end, because 3 days later, people thought he was still in the tomb, still in the grave. The stone was rolled away, and out walked Jesus, fresh as a daisy, calling us out into new life. We are excited today because we have a mighty cross. One of the greatest British church leaders in many generations, a guy called Charles Spurgeon, said this: I have great need for Christ, but I have a great Christ for my need. Come on, somebody. You have a great Christ for your need today. And he's here. And come on, you could do better than that. Come on, if someone claps, you join in. I have a great need for Christ and a great Christ for my need. Thank God we have Christ, because we know that he is the door. And when we enter through him, that's when we find salvation and life, life to the full. So how do we do it? In a world full of Alexas, how do we live this one door life? How do we do it? Okay, let me just set this up and then I'll give you some practical stuff. And then we'll do a little bit of spiritual karaoke, and then we'll go and have some karaoke, comes coffee. Okay, so number one, Jesus knew this already. Okay, so Jesus lived in a world 2,000 years ago filled with many faiths. Guess what? It's almost like today is just a representation of yesterday and the centuries before. So I want to read to you a prayer that Jesus prayed over his disciples. So Jesus is speaking to his Father, his Heavenly Father, about his disciples, about us today. This is what he said. A little bit further from where Jesus said he is the door, a little bit further on, says this: my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Jesus is saying, Dad, my prayer is not that you take them out of this world, but actually while they're here, you protect them. Okay, next verse. They are not, what? What's that word? They are not, come on, they are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Next verse. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Man, if you're on a journey of faith today, if you're still figuring stuff out, I've got a great pit stop you can make on your journey, and it's the word of truth. You can pick up the Bible, which I have on my phone. I'm not saying that Steve Jobs is the Bible, but I have a Bible app on my phone, and you can pick this up, and this is the word of truth. We live in an age full of fake news and lies, and you can pick this up and know exactly who God called you to be and know exactly what he's done for you. Sanctify them by your, next slide. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. See, you are not of this world. Isn't that interesting? You are not of this world. Yeah, I am. I was born in Billinge Hospital before they knocked it down for profit. No, you're not actually of this world, because you have a body, but in your body is a spirit. And that is who you are. See, you are not of this world, but you find yourself in it. Another version said that you don't belong here. Ever felt like you don't belong? Many, many a time, my friends, many, many a time. You don't belong here. You're of it. You're not of it, but you find yourself in it. The earth is not your home. heaven is. How interesting. Heaven is. Now, let me explain a little bit. Have you ever met someone, if you're a Christian here, have you ever met someone who's more Christian than you are? Okay, yeah. I know a few of them. And like, I've learned 5 verses today, all in Latin. And they Facebook and they tweet all these things, and they, honestly, they just sound angelic. And I'm like, wow. When Jesus comes back, just text me because I'm standing next to you, you know, and holding on to your ankle. You know, a lot of people, some people, I tell you though, some people it's great and it's amazing and it challenges me. But some people are just obsessed. Like some people, it's like they're just obsessed by this idea of heaven. It's literally like they have arrived on this earth at a big galactic bus stop and parked themselves up under a little shelter where they can't get rained on, just waiting for that bus to come, you know? Except in heaven's terms, it's not 20 years too late and 5 come at once. It's a little bit different. But they're not. It's almost like they're waiting. Like, I don't care about this world because, ooh, heaven is my home. Just written a song impromptu. Heaven is my home. Come on, everybody. No. That's not the way you do it. They're obsessed by this idea of, I'm just waiting for heaven. And they miss the joy of today. They miss the moments of light. They miss the sunrise, friends. They miss the sunsets. They miss the moments where they're helping someone, where someone looks and said, man, are you an angel? Because I just needed that today. They miss all that because they're waiting for the bus. They are heaven obsessed, and they remind me of car litterers. Have you been on this road? Maybe you're driving, and if you're like me and you have very little road rage in you, and you're driving down the road and you see a car in front of you, and they just throw a Mackie's thing out the window. Seen them? Or cigarettes? Anybody? Somebody? Are you in here today? Because we're gonna have a baptism in a minute. And so they're throwing stuff out the window, you know, like bags, cigarettes, the children when they're annoying them. They're just flinging stuff out the car. One time, because I'm a cyclist, so gives you reason to love me more. So I'm a cyclist. And so this guy was throwing something out the window. And I thought, I'm not having that. So I rode up next to him in my Lycra. Going to a Def Leppard concert, mate. Don't worry. So I rode up next to him and I knocked on his window and it was semi-open and I threw it back in. Yeah. Mic drop. And I cycled off like there was no tomorrow. It does my head in. And it's like when people like, can't wait for Friday, like Monday they get into work and they're all depressed and they don't talk to you. And then Tuesday they've got a countdown clock on the desk that says like 4 days till Friday, woo! And it's like these people that are heaven obsessed just litter this planet because they think, well, it's not my problem because I'm going over there. And so I'm just going to leave you in the wake of my own judgment. No, 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 no. That's not what Jesus is saying. Heaven is our home. We belong in heaven. But Jesus says in this passage, as you send me into the world, Dad, so I have sent them to the world. Man, if only we understood that every day we wake up, we are sent. That every day we wake up and we don't just leave our home, but we are sent from our home into every scattered place. Would we carry more hope? Would we carry more intentionality? Would we carry more life and more purpose? Would we carry more faith for our friends? I don't know. But I tell you this, that you are sent. You are sent. And so we are not here to be heaven obsessed. Some people treat heaven as a right, but heaven is a reward. And one day, my friend, one day, you will feel the warmth of heaven in a way you never felt you could. So there we go. Jesus saying, look, you're not of this world, but you're in it. You don't belong here because heaven's your home, but you find yourself here nonetheless. You find yourself in the career you're in. You find yourself in the street you're in. You find yourself in the conversations that you are in. So how do you do it? How do you live in a world of many faiths, if Jesus is the only door and this place isn't my home, how do I do it? Fundamentally, you need to understand this one thing, and this really helped me when I thought about it this way. It's this. While you're here, you are a guest in someone else's house. You are a guest in someone else's house. Okay, what do you mean? That's a little bit strange. You've thrown me a little bit. Well, have you ever been to a party? I've never get invited. But if you've ever been to a party, if you've ever been to a party and you go to someone's house, you are not of that house, but you find yourself in it. If you've been invited round for a meal one time, you find yourself in it, but actually you're not of it. You live in a much poorer house on the other side of town. You live in a different street with different people. That's your home. And once you're done at your party, you're going to go home. But you find yourself in it. You are a guest in someone else's house. So this house represents your work, your leisure spaces, your home, your neighborhood, wherever you are, the people you bump into, the angry, the confused, the emptied. These are the homes we find ourselves in today. But you are not you are a guest in that house. So my slant on this, and then we'll get the band up and do some karaoke, and is this. I think if you're a follower of Jesus in here, you should be the best guest that this world has ever seen. You should be such a good guest so that people look at you and think, man, where are they from? That sounds amazing. Because we're sent, right? We're actually sent. So I'm not just arriving in someone's home. I'm actually being sent there. Are you with me on this one? And so as we unpack this, I think we should be the best guest that the world has ever seen. How do you do that? Three very simple ways. If you're hungry in here, you're like, Ben, okay, I'm with you. I'm a guest here. I'm in it. I'm not of it. I don't belong here. But I thought I was going into a rap then, that Jesus is the only door I can't ignore. You know, if you find yourself here, thanks. I'm on Spotify, check me out. And so if you're in here and you're like, man, how do I do this? Three very simple things, okay? So number one, how to be a great guest. Number one is care. Number two is be kind. And number three is contribute. I literally looked at my own life and the guests that come into our home, because we have a very open home. Please don't come over. But we have a very open home. We welcome people. Only it was a joke. We invite people around. We have community group in our house, and we make it a point to welcome people into our life. It's good for the kids as well to be surrounded by people and see the parents modeling hospitality. And so in our open home, we have great guests and we have, you know, guests. And I've had experience where I try to be a good guest in every house. And the three biggest assets that I see of the people that are in my world are caring, kindness, and contribution. The best guests actually care about the people in that home. Actually care about the space they're in. So they don't leave the muddy shoes on and sit on your new couch and put their feet up thinking, hey, this is fantastic. They don't do that. They don't spill red wine on your carpet and then say, sorry. They don't do that. That wasn't to anybody. It sounded very like passive aggressive. But they don't spill stuff on the floor and leave it. They care about your house. They almost invest in it a little bit because they actually care about you. And so being a great guest on this earth is about actually caring. How simple is this, guys? Like, how easy is this? The cosmic reality of God whittled down to three indisputable miniature points. How about we just care for people? How about we just go past the whole, I have to work with you, so I'll put up with you. I have to live with you, so I'll put up with you. How about we enter a space that cares for people? And if you want to find out more, you can look in Luke chapter 10. I'm not going to read that to you. If you want to go a little bit further, you can read that yourself. And number two, be kind. We have got to be kind. Do you consider yourself a kind person? Lift your hand. Okay, great, excellent. I like you. It's good. Unless you're full of pride, and then maybe you need to just do some objective self-examination, whether that was a truthful response. But you've got to be kind. It's not like when someone comes over and offends your cooking, you know, like say you've cooked them a really nice meal and they say, that was really good for you. Well done. You have 3 pans and a spatula. Well done. We have to be kind. When we enter these spaces in life, when we enter these people's houses as guests in their home, we enter it in a sense of kindness toward them. Not in a sense of, what I mean by that is sometimes I think generous and authentic kindness moves people towards heaven. I think people see that and they recognize it as real and they want to come with you on that. Why do you think that about me? I live in a humble home. Why do you think this is a great place? I live a humble life, but you think I live a wealthy life. I don't understand, but it's just generous and authentic kindness. Got to care, got to be kind, and we've got to contribute. There's a guy in our community group who comes round, and without fail, he always washes up. Does anybody have a good friend like that who just comes and washes up? I mean, come on, somebody. That's amazing, isn't it? I remember, yeah, pray for more. Come on, more of these people. And he's just brilliant. And I didn't ask him to do that because that's not very kind, is it? Like, hey, wash up, you know. But he just does it off his own back, or he tidies up, or he helps. And this is just a fantastic young man. And he, and of course, I don't ask him to do that. I don't pay him for it, you know. But he's just got this heart that whilst I'm in your home, I'm going to contribute to your household. Okay, you might have bought the food, or he may have even brought it, but yet he's still at the end of the community group. He just says, I wash up, and he just gets up and does it. And at one time, it was like, oh, no, don't, you're a guest in our house, you know, we need to do this. But then you have this moment where you think, that's actually a really good thing that he's doing. And I might be uncomfortable because I'm meant to be British and have it all together, but actually the best thing I can do is grow my family by allowing someone to contribute into my household. Contribution. And I'll never forget that. And now I teach that in many, many other people to wash up when they come round, you know. So it's if only that was a joke. So contribute, okay. Contribute. Jesus was asked one day, come on, Jesus, what's it all about? What have you got to do? What have you got to do to create this amazing world? What you got to do to be saved? Always ask these questions. And he boiled everything down to something very simple. And you've heard this before. And he said it in Matthew 19:19. He said, love your neighbor. You have neighbors. Love them. Love your neighbor. You are a guest in someone else's house. So love them. Come on, somebody, this is so simple, so easy, but you just have to love them. What's the truth about living in a world of many faces when there's only one door? Just love them. Amazing, isn't it? Just love them. What kind of guest are you? Because if you contribute, then come on over. Actually ask yourself the question, before we carry on, what kind of guest are you? Do you care about the people and the homes you enter in this world? Are you kind? Are you a kind person to every person you meet? And do you contribute, or do you expect a service from someone without giving anything in return? Okay, let's wrap up. I've done enough. Band, come back on stage, will you? Let's finish with a song in a minute. Just a couple more bits that I want to explain to you. So I've been a Christian for, well, I'm 21 now. So that would be, oh, you're laughing. I'm actually 30. So I've been a Christian for a long time, okay? And I use the word Christian because it was a line in the sand that I said, I'm following, I believe in that, I'm following that. And there were a few years where I'd walked away and done some stuff, but I came back. And I've been a Christian for a long time. And I was kind of asking myself the question as I was praying for you guys and thinking about what I wanted to say. And I thought to myself, why do you ask these like questions that you just, I don't know, that you just realize, is that a question? So why did I start following Jesus? I asked that question, which is kind of a very profound question. Why did I become it? And it's really simple, okay? So the reason why I became a Christian is because I had an invitation I couldn't refuse. Thank you. Come on, someone's clapping. You all have to clap. I had an invitation that I couldn't refuse. I remember in my younger days, me and my friends were at a party, and we're at this house, and we were just hanging out, just chilling. And a mate of mine said, oh, it was New Year's Eve, actually. And a mate of mine said, come on, there's my mum and dad are having a party at their house, so why don't you come to theirs? And I was like, oh, man, I'm meant to be here. And he basically persuaded us, because there was like free food, free pizza at midnight, and it was like fancy dress. And so I thought, yeah, because that, my friends, is how gullible I am. And so I thought, yeah, I'm going to go. And it was such a good time. We had such a fun time together. And we just had pizza and just hung out. An invitation I couldn't refuse. I was a student at the time. But is it that simple that you paint a picture of what someone's home should be or that is truly like and they can't refuse it? See, I heard about Jesus when I came to faith, and I had to move home. I had to move home. I had to get out of where I was. I had to get out of my own building that I built myself, my own way of thinking, my own systems, and I had to move. Why? Because it was an invitation I couldn't refuse. And every time I find myself wandering off the path, I hear the invitation again. And I can't refuse. Let's not be bad guests. Our job is not to judge the homes that people live in or criticize that way of life. It's to give them an invitation they can't refuse. Come on, somebody. Is it that easy? Is the truth that simple? Our job is to give this world an invitation it can't refuse. I love your place. I love your carpets. That's great. IKEA, bargain corner. Well done. Love what you've done with the place. I love how you've just welcomed me into it. Man, I really love your house. It's great. Well, you should see my place. Now, I didn't decorate this house. You know, someone else did it for me. And I don't live alone. I live with my Heavenly Father. But man, you should come to my house. This is a family filled with love in my home. This is a family filled with grace. And guess what? There's a room for you. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. And there's one with your name on the door. It's a place, it's a postcode of hope. It's a place of grace. And it doesn't matter whether you walk out of my Father's house 1,000 times and spit in his face. That door will always be open. How do you get into your house? You walk through the door. And how do we get into our Father's house? We walk through the door. Why? Why is this invitation so hard to refuse? Why is it so difficult to say no to the irresistibility of God? And it's simple. I have a great need for Christ. But I have a great Christ for my need. Thank you, Spurgeon, for saying those words. And it doesn't matter whether your friend is a Buddhist, is an atheist, or indeed a Liverpool Football Club fan. there is a great Christ for their need. And that simple but profound truth is an invitation they won't refuse. Because they love the house they've built, or maybe they don't, but they'll walk out and walk through that door with you. Come on, here's the way. Here's the way. Let me open this door. This is the way in. See, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So this house isn't on lockdown, but you can walk through it and find life. But not just life after death, life before death, and life in all its fullest. Because you know what? I have a great Christ for your need. And if you want to, I'll walk you through. And that simple truth will set them free. Is that easy? We're going to sing in just a minute. I'm going to rededicate ourselves to God. I'm going to use this opportunity to really focus on this door, this Jesus. Because in a world of many faiths, we have one door, and the door is wide open.